Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Nakari, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bama Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calling from the daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australian Indigenous languages represent 9% of the world's critical endangered languages. We must do better. And that's the statement there. Coming from Paul Payton, CEO of the Federation of Victoria Traditional Owner Corporations. Have Paul on the line. Paul, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on the line. And as I say, my language, Murrinj, which is it's nice to be speaking with you.
Yeah, fantastic. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Paul.
Yeah, my name's Paul Payton. I'm a Gunai and Monero Ngarrigo man from Victoria, from the eastern part of the state. Mm. And it's really, really, you know, important to me that the languages are revived and spoken back in our communities.
Well, exactly. And when you look at the headline there, Australian Indigenous Languages Represent 9% of the World's Critical Endangered Languages, Australia is probably would be embarrassed with that, and it's not a good trophy to have.
Well, that's right. I mean, we should be embarrassed, and those numbers, you know, tell us a story of overrepresentation of endangered languages on a global scale. And despite efforts over many, many years by government, we need to do better, and we need to know why we're not seeing that shift in languages being spoken again. And there's been plenty of reports, National Indigenous Languages Survey has been done over many years, and we're really not seeing a significant shift, and we need to look at why that is and how we can actually make that change.
And so with this, where do we take this information to? I mean, where do we take our fight for this to not be in the world's critical endangered languages? What does government need to do? What do we need to do?
I think, you know, we need to really pay attention to the situation and what it actually means, because you know, language connects us to our land, to our culture, our ancestors. Mm. It describes the world around us. It's how we identify as our mob. So, you know, if we lose our languages, we're losing, you know, something, you know, effectively like a library of information, a way to see the world, you know, knowledge that's been gained over thousands of generations, and we really sort of need to recognise the gravity of that. So government really need to sort of look at what needs to change, speak to communities, and, you know, I think that community has the answer, and doing language work at that community level is how we're going to see a shift.
I see that around the country you find some schools and the curriculum, education, you know, are bringing language to the table. That's a beautiful start. That's a good thing, is it not?
Oh, definitely. You know, schools are a hub of knowledge, and we can really sort of foster that environment to promote reconciliation, and they can be places of learning, development of resources that can be shared back to the community, or have, you know, that community involvement in the developing of those resources, and then it becomes a much broader community resource that can be drawn upon to share out to the community. So it's really important that we foster that, and we need language teachers. We need to look at how we deliver language in schools. So we need to you know, look at the whole sort of plethora of inputs into language learning, from research to developing resources, the teaching of language, the authorisation of language, learning as well is really important, and the protection of language as well, because so much knowledge has been taken away from us, and our language holds a lot of knowledge, and we need to be able to protect that going forward as well.
And then you look at across the country, states and territories, at the local, if not state, territory, federal government, they're now changing different suburbs or towns with a First Nation name. That's a beautiful start too, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a real sort of keen interest in in place names and what that can tell us about the country. You know, our language comes from the land. You know, it talks about our places and our stories, the sounds that the country makes, and the representation of the landscape is all in our language, and we can learn so much from that. So if we can use that as a platform, place names, to teach others about our history, about our knowledge and our connections, then, you know, I'm all for that, because it's really sets us apart from you know, the rest of the world in regards to our identity and the culture that's within our country.
And look, you would think that the government would embrace this. I mean, when we're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth, it's on this big island. And if Australia is the big island, then do what you can to protect and preserve the languages, own it, so to speak, even if you're non-Indigenous. I mean, like, longest living culture on planet Earth. Rest my case.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, there's a lot of interest, people wanting to, like you say, name places and streets and those types of things. They want to learn about it, about our history, look at our language, what we've been passing on through those generations, how we can apply it to land management. You know, talking about fire and native foods and things like that, where the knowledge is contained within the language. Mm-hmm. And so we can unlock a lot of that, and it can really benefit the rest of the community, because, you know, it contributes to education and reconciliation, tourism. Yes. There's so many different ways that we can recognise and support language revival and its impacts on the broader community.
Mm. Now, Paul, you've been the CEO of the Federation of Victoria Traditional Owner Corporation. Is there a federation of other states and territories with the TOC?
There's not a similar organisation that I'm aware of in other states.
Sure.
The closest would be probably the NNTC, which is at a national level, National Native Title Council.
Okay.
But, not in the rest of the states, not that I'm aware of.
Sure. Look, we're having this yarn here on national radio. Of course, government listens in as well. So here's another iron and fire regarding bringing those numbers lower in that sense, and with us being front and centre regarding not being a critical endangered language. Thank you very much for your yarn, my friend. And so with this information and the fight for bringing those numbers down, who do you talk to in regarding to make this happen? Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Minister or like Premier or Victoria?
I'm speaking at the Victorian level. I'm speaking to the Aboriginal Affairs Minister.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm also a member through one of the other hats I wear, through the Coalition of Peaks, that has the responsibility for closing the gap, and that has now established a languages policy partnership. So
beautiful.
I'm contributing to those conversations as well.
Lovely. But every iron and fire, that's what it's all about. Paul, thank you for your yarn. You keep smiling, my brother. Stay warm, and look, we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Take care, brother. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. That's Paul Payton, CEO of Federation Victoria Traditional Owner Corporations. Very sad, but Australia holds one of the trophies of Indigenous languages, represent 9% of the world's critical endangered languages. We must do better is the statement there. And Paul is swinging a bat there for us. As First Nation people, we are the longest living culture on planet Earth, so we need to bring those numbers down in regarding not being at the table for endangered languages. So a very important yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Your host for National Talk Black, the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Tune in.
The sun goes down on my side of town. The lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad tracks, at a table for two, away in the back, where I sit alone and think of losing you. I spend most every of two young lovers running wild and free. I close my eyes and sometimes see you in the shadows of this snow-filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied, telling my poor heart she'll come back someday. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, and if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to rush your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. The jukebox plays on, drink by drink, and the words of every sad song seem to say what I think, and this hurt inside of me ain't never gonna end. Oh, oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, and if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. Come watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon.
My medicine, 'cause I've been doing this for way too long now, girl. Chasing you to the end of the earth. Sorry if I come across too strong now, but the remedy lays in between your legs. 'Cause I've been here before, but I don't wanna be too cautious. 'Cause all I'm thinking, baby, what if we fall in love the way you make me feel now, baby? What if we fall in love, yeah? Oh, when I see you, it's like fate. And every time you touch me, girl, I feel us levitate. It's like I'm in a skyscraper. We say we too high, but have faith. And baby, I know that you are the one. A feeling like me plus you is a sum. And I don't even know what I'm saying right now. And we can figure this out.
'Cause I can be the one. Let me take a dip in your waters. Backstroke your love until the morning. 'Cause I've been here before, but I don't wanna be too cautious. 'Cause all I'm thinking, baby, is what if we fall? And baby girl, you know you wanna be my, oh, 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 yeah.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk flag, your big yarning shirt, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure. Building on my chest. Once an invitation for you to unload your stress. Life without meaning, a vessel without a soul. Euphoria's finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy, and take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life, 'cause it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home.
She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit
of rum and a coffee mug. We all want freedom deep in our souls. Should've got my stuff together many, many moons ago. Stimulate your mind. Artificially creating bonds. Future for the children needs more than likes and shares. Pretend you're not listening and make it out like you don't care.
She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off. A little bit of rum in a coffee mug. Just a little bit, 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 just a little bit of rum in a coffee mug.
Like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Salt and Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many to stand up tall, young, black and deadly. I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life, you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man. That's why I got that flag tattooed on my hand. 'Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaking us as patients on a race it and never answer minimal information.
A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, 'cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, 'cause you're singing for me, my man, na 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 na.
I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never.
Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe. That's the answer, question time. Freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother. Written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy. You mimic me deep down, the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpanga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawitza. Love for Larrakia and NT, Noongars West, Curries, Murrays. All that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I talk like it.
Taking all of our money as we're walking out the door, and they're leaving all of their loving, and she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise, and I'm a pawn to a lust, pawn to a love, cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, my man, na 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 na. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan.
Hey, what's good on your mob? It's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country, across Australia, through NERS, via NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, a very very important conversation need to be had. I'm about to have that now with Philip Kastner. He's University of Western Australia Senior Law Lecturer. He's based, he's over at Canada at the moment, but the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, hears calls for action. Now, for most people, the idea of a loved one vanishing or being murdered is beyond comprehension, but it's a scenario that is all too familiar for many First Nation communities. Known as Mrs. Eaton for cultural reasons, the Namul elder in Western Australia, Pilbara region, knows families who have relatives disappear with little or no explanation. Her own grandson is listed as a missing person. There's no closure. It's not only the families who suffer, the community suffers as well, Mrs. Eaton says. A landmark national inquiry focusing on disproportionately high rates of missing and murdered Indigenous women and children is underway, and more than 40 submissions received from organisations, individuals across the globe. Most of the submissions released publicly are from legal and domestic violence services, academics and human rights groups, which are heavily research-based, and many are calling for long overdue action to combat the increasing rates of violence against Indigenous women and children. And with that, I'm going to bring Philip Kastner to the conversation, University of West Australia Senior Law Lecturer, who's a lecturer who's doing research on this space, and research has to be done in the 21st century. Here we are. And a very good morning to Philip. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm well.
Thank you very much coming to the program. Philip, you're based in Canada at the moment, are you?
I am, yes. So it's a good start. I'd like to mention that I was born and raised in Europe, actually, but I've lived for many years in Canada, what is known as Turtle Island, and on Noongar land, where the University of Western Australia is situated.
Thank you very much. Look, a very important research that you're a part of, and it needs to be done. We as First Nation people, we look at missing persons, murdered persons, women and children, that doesn't get really investigated, it's a different story when it's non-Indigenous. You know, the support of finding the murderer, of a child or a woman is robust. It goes hard and solid, but not in this case for First Nation people. So bring into the conversation, tell us about your research and the importance of it, please.
Right. So I'd also like to mention that I cannot and do not want to speak on behalf of First Nations people,
okay.
But I try to contribute to the debate as an ally, and I try
Thank
to take
you.
Responsibility also
Thank
as
you.
A member of the settler colonial society.
My research
deals a lot with international law, with transitional justice, it's called transitional justice, so with forms of justice in the aftermath of armed conflicts, of regime changes, and also in the context of settler colonial societies. And when my co-researcher from Canada and I looked at this new Senate inquiry and the terms of reference, we realized that the inquiry actually has a very broad mandate, which we think is really important, namely to consider violence in a very broad sense. And that was actually similar also to a Canadian inquiry that was made a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Into similar issue into Indigenous women who are missing or who have been murdered,
mm-hmm.
And the terms of reference of the inquiry of the Australian inquiry actually speak of the systemic causes of all forms of violence that need to be considered, and we just thought that this could really have my co-researcher and I. We thought that this could have been communicated much more clearly, including in the name of the inquiry. The problem is, of course, that this is not just about these most extreme manifestations of direct physical violence when a woman or a child actually is murdered or disappears. This is, of course, absolutely horrific, and we must take such cases much more seriously, investigate them properly, provide appropriate support services to families and communities, especially. This is, of course, especially challenging in remote areas, but it doesn't mean that that public institutions don't need to react.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Philip, I was just going to say, my friend, I'm talking to you from Cairns, a radio station here, does the National Talk Radio program via NERS, National News Radio Service. Here in Cairns, we had a murder happen back in 2017, 18, I think it was, where a young girl got murdered here in Cairns, and they're extraditing a person of interest from India who's coming back to Cairns to face courts to talk about the situation. Now, this young girl, and condolences and respect to her family, young Toya Cordinglings, when she got murdered, the support in regards to there was $1 million reward to find the murderer, stickers, media, the whole community got behind it. We as black people here in Cairns, we think if that was a black person, a black woman, an Indigenous woman, would they have gone this far in regard to putting out a reward, $1 million, putting out all these stickers, and they fought to get this man they need to be extradited to face court.
Right.
We think it's sad, but do we think that? I mean, like I said, with all respect to the family of Toya and her spirit, may rest in peace. But she's not
right.
She's not Indigenous, and the support was unbelievable. And now we've found someone, which is fantastic. But our black women and children who go missing in this country, it's not the same support or findings behind that to the full extent. You hear what I'm saying?
Of course, I very much agree with that observation and this kind of criticism. It's not to take away any of the support that you see and feel now in Cairns and perhaps even across the country. It's perhaps important to say that this kind of gendered violence, the gendered forms of violence against women and girls, this kind of violence has not been taken seriously across the globe, really. So this concerns Indigenous and non-Indigenous women.
Mm.
But the thing is, with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia, and same issues, of course, very similar in Canada with Indigenous women. The rates are just a lot higher when it comes to missing and murdered women. So we have sort of what we call sort of an intersectional problem. They are targeted because they are women, but they are also targeted because they are Indigenous.
Yes.
So one of the numbers that really struck me is that Indigenous women are around 30 times more likely to be hospitalized because of assault-related injuries.
Mm.
And sometimes the big problem is really that you know, they call the police and they are just not being taken seriously.
Mm.
And when women feel threatened, and it does happen in sort of, you know, the non-Indigenous context as well, unfortunately.
Yes.
So there's something to be discussed much more broadly, really, to take this gendered violence more seriously. But obviously, the rates are just staggering and are completely unacceptable. If we compare those rates, you know, between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and non-Indigenous women.
Yes,
and so we of course need to take this issue more seriously, and there needs to be more training within the police. But we also need to work on, of course, the systemic causes that we must try to remove, and to try to make sure that this violence just doesn't happen in the first place. And that's of course a very complex process. There are no very easy, straightforward solutions there, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do. We still need to take action. And I see the Senate inquiry as part of trying to also hear from Indigenous communities directly what they think, what they suggest, what is important to them, how they think that we should try to act. But at the same time, it's, of course, you know, a bit of a top-down inquiry. It's created by the Senate, and it's in some way part of that colonial mindset. Like, we create a top-down commission to address a problem that concerns Indigenous people, and I do hope that that's also what we thought was really important that, to make it clear that we hear from and listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and to empower them to design solutions and to work on solutions.
Well, we're saying
that is really key, and that's something that was also, you know, raised very prominently. That was a major issue in the context of the Canadian inquiry too.
Yeah, well, then you look at when you're talking about missing and murdered First Nation women and children in this country. I mean, and you're doing the research on that. I will say this, Philip, your tongue's going to be hanging out. You've got a lot of work. You're going to find a lot of inquiries that haven't been inquired, haven't been investigated. You're in Canada. There's a similar story over there with First Nation people as well. Is that right? Do you want to share that, please?
Yes, very much.
And share that with us here and now?
So
you've got an example of one.
The inquiry was launched a few years ago. We issued a final report in 2019, and as I said before, you know, issued this huge report really to try to work on and report on this issue. The numbers are actually fairly similar, equally shocking, really. So we have, statistics according to which Indigenous women are like 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing. We still, however, do not have precise numbers, and I think that's important to mention too. Even after this long inquiry, the numbers are still unknown. There are no reliable estimates. Mm. But what is clear is that thousands of women have actually, you know, thousands of women's deaths or disappearances have actually most likely gone unrecorded. That's what the commission found. Mm. But the important point here also is that no matter the precise number, this number is definitely too great. So this is just very clear. And perhaps I'm not saying it doesn't matter what the exact number is. Like,
sure,
every case obviously counts.
Exactly.
But our response to this huge challenge really shouldn't depend on, you know, whether we exactly find out how many women have actually been missing or have been murdered. So that's also an important insight, I think, from the Canadian inquiry.
Sure. Fantastic.
Yes.
And with this information, as a law lecturer, senior law lecturer from University of Western Australia, when you find this information, where do you take this information What do you do with it? Do you take it to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Affairs Minister? Do you take it to the Premier of WA? This could be, should be across the nation in regard to the missing Indigenous women and children in this country with no investigation. There's got to be, well, an inquiry as such, investigation on this survey as such, but there need to be some outcomes where there's policies and procedures constitutionally put across the table to make sure this doesn't happen.
Right, so I think that the Senate inquiry still is a good start, really.
Okay.
I don't think that we will be able to kind of stop there, right? It will be interesting to see what this committee will recommend. They might recommend to establish, you know, another commission with broader powers to investigate, further investigate the issue. It could be a royal commission. I don't know. I don't know what they will they will come up with, but I think it's clear that the work actually starts with such an inquiry. What I do, well, you know, also many other colleagues, we work on this issue from on Indigenous issue or human rights issues from different angles.
Exactly.
And I'm as I said before, I'm very interested in, you know, dealing with the systemic causes as well, and try to figure out what we can do in terms of institutions, what we can do in terms of mechanisms, of course, in cooperation and very much driven by Indigenous people, how we can change the problem, really, and try to remove these systemic causes. Once again, the Senate inquiry, I'm not expecting too much from it, really.
Okay.
It's not as if, you know, oh, there's an inquiry and it will just all be better afterwards. But it is really important to talk about it and to work on several fronts. Once again, I think the police and investigators, prosecutors, of course, need to be trained, need to be better trained, probably.
Exactly.
You know, this is this is very, very clear. But there is a lot of endemic discrimination, and we need to continue this process of decolonization on a larger front to try to remove the systemic causes for this violence.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly right. And so with this information, if we've got families out there who are listening to our conversation here and now, how can they get in touch with you to share with you their stories if they're in this situation? What's your contact? How do we do that?
Email is a good contact.
Okay, yes, 21st Century.
Moment. I don't know if that is very easy.
Do you want to give your email over, please?
Sure, that's Philip, that's written philipp dot Kastner.
L-I-P-P, that's double P, L-I-P-P?
Double P.
P-H-I-L-L-I-P-P?
No, just one L.
P-H-I-L-I-P-P, yes.
Yes.
Philip?
Kastner.
All one word?
S-T. Dot Kastner.
Dot Kastner.
K-A-S-T-N-E-R.
K-A-S-T.
And that's at
UWA.edu
for education. edu.au.
.au. Lovely. I've got your email here. So to our listeners out there, if you want to contact Philip Kastner.
Pardon me, if you search for Philip Kastner, UWA, University of Western Australia.
Okay, University of Western
Australia.
You'll
be able to find me too.
Okay, thank
you. They're, once again, it's not, I don't want to take too much space in a way. There are a lot of wonderful organizations, of course.
Yes,
that have made submissions as well.
Sure.
Who work on the ground more than I do. I see my contribution very much as trying to, you know, compare also and
sure.
what has been going on somewhere else, and to share these insights, which I find.
Well, the more stories we have, I think it's more meat on the bone, Philip.
As well.
Yeah, I think the more stories we have, more meat on the bone. It gives you a strong foundation for the Senate inquiry, I feel.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your conversation. Thank you for the work that you're doing, a very important work. And when we talk about the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children, here's calls for action, yes. And this is long time waiting. And as I said, we're in the 21st century and we're finding our women and children are still going missing with no importance in regard to the investigation side of things. Thank you very much, Philip. All the best to you. Stay warm there in Canada.
Thank you very much for listening to me.
And we'll talk soon.
I really hope that my voice today will also help amplify the voices of those who really need to be heard. So
I'm sure
thank you very
will.
Much
I'm sure
for having
me. Philip, we'll be in touch. You take care. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care too. Have a good day. Bye.
A beautiful yarn. Philip Kastner, his name is, and University of Western Australia, senior law lecturer, and he's a part of the Senate inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women, children. He has calls for action, and we as black people, we know fully that that is the case. When our women and children go missing, the investigation isn't taken seriously. It's a very important conversation, and we'll be in touch with Philip Kastner, University of Western Australia, and you can find his contact these details if you want to share stories or if you have any queries with the man who's doing the research there on the missing, murdered First Nation women and children, then contact him through University of Western Australia. Fantastic. Look, very important conversation, disheartening, but need to be had. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and Yarn Up Strong here, the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service.